at all. I have seen battles won through sheer uncontrollable rage. At the right moment it can turn the tide of battle, and renew the bravery of those around the warrior who can show strength, when all around him have given up.
Agreed, though. Actual battle? I don't think what I've done qualifies as actual battle yet.
That is for you to define, ma petite. But Asher's temper always unmanned him in a fight. He was much better at being a lover than a fighter.
He's great in bed, but he sucks at the relationship part.
He does not suck, as you say, at all the relationship part. But I understand you have not seen the part he is good at as much as I have.
I've never been on a single date with him.
You have been on dates with us both.
Please never take me to the opera again.
He laughed, but again it was that careful laugh. Delightful to hear, but it was still camouflage.
Asher does like what is now called highbrow culture more than you do.
The complete Tchaikovsky Sleeping Beauty made me want to hurt myself. And I thought I liked ballet.
Most people like selections of the well-known ballets, but have no idea how much has been cut for time.
I might have had to admit I was totally uncultured, but a knock at the door saved me. I started to ask who it was, but just thinking about asking, I could feel Nikki on the other side of the door. And Sinric. Why is Sin with him? I asked out loud.
I do not know,
Jean-Claude said and called,
Come in, Nicolas.
The door opened and Nikki's broad shoulders filled it as he walked through. But there were a few inches of dark hair over his head because Sin was the taller of the two.
I've told you before, Jean-Claude, it's just Nikki. It's not short for anything.
I am sorry, Nikki, but it seems too little a name for the man you have become.
He shrugged as much as his shoulder muscles would allow.
My maternal grandfather's name was Nicholas. The bitch who called herself my mother was named Nicole after him, and I was named Nikki after both of them. Let me just say while we're on the topic that I know that Nathaniel wants to name a boy Nicholas after his dead brother, but I'd rather not.
What boy are we naming? I asked.
Now you've done it, Sinric said.
Sin, it is always lovely to see you, but we have personal matters to discuss with Nikki,
Jean-Claude said. Are you saying that Nathaniel is picking out baby names? I asked.
You know he has baby fever,
Nikki said. Picking out names is a little more than baby fever, I said.
Nathaniel wants a family, Anita. You know that,
Sin said. Yeah, and if he could get pregnant, we could talk about it. But since I'm the only womb in the relationship, it's not happening.
You aren't the only girl anymore, Sin said.
I looked at him, ready to be mad at Nathaniel for picking out names for a baby I hadn't agreed to have, but any target would do. What's that supposed to mean?
It means that when Nathaniel talked about wanting a baby, Fortune was there last time and said she might be willing.
To have Nathaniel's baby? I asked.
It didn't get that far, but she's never had a baby, and if she and Echo feel safe enough, she might consider it. That's all.
Sin held his hands out in a little push-away gesture. I guess I'll talk to her on the plane about babies, I said, and I was really angry, and some other emotion was in there. I realized that the thought of Nathaniel having a baby with another woman bothered me. A lot. Damn it, I was not breeding!
I didn't mean to start a fight, Anita. You made it sound like your objection to babies is getting pregnant. I thought knowing that one of the other women in our poly group was willing to get pregnant would solve things, not make you mad,
Sin said. Well, it didn't solve things, I said,
and I sounded pissed. Damn it.
Ma petite, we do not have time for an argument if you are to feed before you get on the plane.
Besides, the kid is right,
Nikki said.
If your only objection was needing someone else to get pregnant, it would solve the problem.
He was watching me, and something about the way he was doing it let me know that he was feeling exactly what I was feeling. I couldn't feel his emotions the way I could if I dropped my psychic shielding with Jean-Claude or even Sinric, but I also couldn't keep Nikki from sensing my emotions the way I could the others. As my bride, Nikki was compelled to keep me happy. It literally seemed to cause him discomfort, if not pain, to feel me unhappy. He never seemed to share what he sensed from me with any of the other people in our lives, but the look in his eyes said that he, of all of them, knew exactly why I was upset.
It's really hard to get in the mood sometimes when this kind of topic comes up, I said,
and my voice still held an edge of anger, but mostly I sounded peevish and whiny, and I hated hearing that in my own voice. I could do better than this. I had told Nathaniel that if he could get pregnant, we could talk about babies more seriously. It had been my way of dropping the topic, but one thing I hadn't considered when we added other women to our poly group was that I wasn't the only one who could get pregnant now. I also hadn't expected how bad it made me feel to think of someone else carrying Nathaniel's child. I still didn't want to be pregnant, but I didn't want him to do it with anyone else, which made no sense at all. But one thing I'd learned in therapy was that just because a feeling made no sense didn't make you stop feeling it.
I didn't mean to make things harder or weirder, Sinric said.
Nikki gave him a look that said he doubted that last part. He didn't give Sinric looks like that much, so something was up.
Go ahead, kid. Tell them what you want that doesn't make things harder or weirder.
You make it sound like I'm wrong.
I didn't say you were wrong. I just didn't say you were right.
I have to be one or the other, Sinric said.
No, you can be wrong and right at the same time.
No, you can't, Sinric said.
As much as I'd prefer the world to be black and white, yes or no, right or wrong, Nikki's right. Sometimes you can be both, I said.
Ah, ma petite, you have grown in wisdom since first we met, for then you believe the world was black and white without gray in between.
What's that mean? Sinric asked.
It means that once upon a time I would have agreed with you that there was no way to be right and wrong at the same time.
I still don't understand, he said.
Tell them your plan and then they'll explain it to you, Nikki said.
Sinric got a stubborn look on his face.
It's logical, he said.
I didn't argue logic with you, kid.
Please stop calling me kid. It doesn't really help me make my point.
Not my job to help you make your point, Nikki said.
I frowned at both of them. Why are you guys almost fighting?
The kid, oh, sorry, Sin, is trying to cockblock me.
Sinric rolled his eyes.
Thanks for that elegant introduction to the conversation, Nikki.
You're welcome,
he said with a smile that looked real as if he didn't get the joke. I knew he got it, but I also knew he was a wonderful actor when he wanted or needed to be. A lot of sociopaths are.
Enough conversation, Sinric, I said. Just tell us what's going on. Anita, please use my name.
That is your name.
Then use the nickname I prefer.
I sighed and made it a big one, but finally said, Fine, Sin. I wish you at least spelled it C-Y-N.
You know that everyone mispronounced it that way.
I know, they kept calling you Cindy, Sydney, or Sid.
Or Carol, Karen, Carl, or Candy.
That was my favorite when I was spelling it Sin.
Fine. Sin, spelled just like it sounds. What's up? I said, but didn't try to keep the crankiness out of my voice. His expression went from stubborn to his own version of cranky. He was a very handsome guy, but not in this mood. A lot of men in my life, and women, would have given it up by now, but Sin, had a streak of stubbornness and determination that gave mine a run for their money, which was saying something.
Nikki is going with Anita to Ireland along with three vampires. If he donates blood to Jean-Claude now, he won't be able to donate again for a couple of days. The same for Anita and the Ardeur, but I can feed her and donate blood to Jean-Claude now and leave Nikki fresh for later.
You make Nikki sound like a tomato that'll spoil if we squeeze it too much, I said. Sin shrugged.
Isn't that pretty accurate?
Nikki chuckled low and deep in his chest. I looked at him. Is that how we make you feel? Like an object? The smile was still showing in his face as he said,
No, but then we're in love with each other, and when you feed, the sex is part of our relationship.
Jean-Claude said, And do I make you feel like a piece of food rather than a person?
Nikki shook his head.
You make me feel like prey sometimes, but never just food.
I do not see you as prey, Nikki.
Maybe prey is the wrong word. What do you call someone that you're trying to seduce?
Jean-Claude looked surprised, which could have been totally pretend, but I didn't think so. Or maybe I didn't want to think so.
I swear to you, Nikki, that I have not tried to seduce you when you allowed me to feed.
Nikki studied the vampire's face for a minute, then turned to me.
Has he been trying?
To seduce you? He nodded.
No, I mean, not really.
Jean-Claude is very sensual in almost everything he does, and he treats taking blood as important. He never makes it fast food, if you know what I mean.
You donate your life's blood to keep me alive and well. How can I treat it as anything but a sacred sharing?
Sacred sharing? I like it, I said.
Are you just going to ignore my suggestion?
Sin asked. I think we were hoping you'd rethink it, I said.
Why?
I have never taken blood from you, Nevu, and I would not start now.
Why not?
You do not understand what you are asking of me.
I've donated blood to Echo.
You are her lover, and her wife's lover. I call you Nevu. It means nephew, and I use the word very deliberately, Sin.
Sin nodded.
I know. You use it to remind yourself that I am your beloved nephew, the prince to your king, not a romantic partner.
If you know all that, then how can you offer yourself to me like this?
I'm not offering to have sex with you, Jean-Claude. Just blood.
It's never just blood with Jean-Claude, I said, studying his face. I could have lowered my shields and understood what he was actually feeling, or even thinking, because I could share both with my animals to call. But I didn't try to get emotionally closer. Until I found out where this was going and why, I wasn't sure I wanted Sin inside my head that far.
I know he can take blood without messing with my head. Any vampire can.
But then it is just pain,
Jean-Claude said.
I'm okay with that, Sin said.
I am not.
Sin looked at the vampire then.
What do you mean?
I have worked long and hard to bring myself to a point where I have so many people in my life that I care for who willingly give their life's blood to me. I do not have to take blood where I can find it, Sin, but where I want it.
I want to be seriously considered for the commitment ceremony.
We are aware of that, Nevu.
I kept asking why I wasn't being seriously considered, and finally someone told me it was because you saw me as a beloved nephew, and you don't marry your nephew.
Jean-Claude gave that wonderful Gallic shrug, though it's more graceful than that sounds. It was a gesture that meant everything and nothing, but he looked good doing it. It seemed a very French gesture. It's not just Jean-Claude, Sin, I said. Micah doesn't know what to do with you either.
But he sleeps in the bed with you, Nathaniel, and me. We've all had sex with you in bed at the same time.
That's true, but he still doesn't call you a brother husband.
I asked Micah before he left town, and he said if everyone else agreed, he wouldn't fight it.
You have been a busy bee, haven't you? I said, and again the crankiness was back. I tried not to have issues with Sin, but I did.
I am sorry, Nevu, but I will not agree to putting a ring on your finger. That is not the relationship we have or want.
Nikki donates blood to you, and he's not your lover.
That is true. But you have already heard him accuse me of attempting to seduce him when I have not tried. I am of a line of vampires that takes power from sensual things, sexual things, and the emotions that such things engender in people. I am proud of you as an uncle or even a father might be. I cannot think of you as that and then hold you in my arms while I sink fangs into your flesh and suck a little piece of your life away.
A moment of doubt crossed Sin's face, but he shook his head.
I value our relationship, Jean-Claude. I like being the young prince to your king, but I don't want to lose my place with Anita and the others.
Nothing is threatening your place with us, I said. He shook his head again.
You've already cut some of your other tigers out of your life, as lovers and food for the ardure, Anita.
If I tried to sleep regularly with everyone I was connected to metaphysically, the people at the core of my life wouldn't see much of me.
Am I a part of that core, Anita?
I took a breath and wanted to say something else, but I said the truth.
Yes. Then why do you keep pulling away from me?
We talked about this, Sin.
I can't change the fact that I'm only 19, or that you're 12 years older than I am.
I know that, I said.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Then why do you punish me for it?
I don't punish you for it.
Even I'm going to agree with the kid on this one, Anita,
Nikki said. I glared at him. I thought you were designed to keep me happy, especially with you.
Just so we're clear, this is not me being happy with you.
He looked at me.
I'm supposed to help keep you happy.
That would be my point.
When you're not all weird about Sin, he's part of what keeps you happy. Do you know why he was with me when they gave me Jean-Claude's message?
It felt like Nikki had changed topics, but I said, of course I don't know that.
Are you changing topics?
Sin and I were talking about what he'll be making for dinner since Nathaniel will be in Ireland tonight and he's the main cook for our poly group. Sin thought that through and came to me with a plan.
I looked from one to the other of them.
That's great, I said.
Sin and I sous chef for Nathaniel most of the time or cook some of the dishes.
I know that.
Then why do you seem so surprised that we're talking about meal planning while Nathaniel is out of town?
I guess we're taking most of the people you cook for.
It's our night at the Jefferson County house with Zeke, Gina, and Chance. They'll be expecting us, and we always cook when we're there.
I was embarrassed to have forgotten all about the little family that was now spending more time in my house than I was. I wouldn't have even thought to phone them. I'm sorry.
We have it covered, Anita, but we have it covered because I'm getting on the plane along with Nathaniel.
I'm sorry, Sin. I didn't even think about the fact that Nathaniel does most of the cooking and meal planning.
Nathaniel and Nikki both told me as soon as they found out, so I could start planning. Nathaniel seems a little caught up with Damien, so Nikki's been helping me plan.
But I didn't tell you, which was shitty of me. He nodded, shrugged, and then said,
shitty will about cover it, yeah. Sin and I started out talking meals, but he had a new idea that was more about the personal stuff.
Do I want to know? I asked.
I think it explains some things, Nikki said.
I took a deep breath, let it out slow, and looked at Sin.
Okay, I'm listening.
We are listening, Jean-Claude said.
Sin swallowed and suddenly looked younger than 19, almost as young as the teenager I'd first met.
We all share each other's emotions, thoughts, feelings. I know that how we met and the age difference bother Anita, but I wondered if maybe the fact that Jean-Claude has kept me at arm's length emotionally is impacting how she feels about me.
What are you saying? I asked.
Jean-Claude works really hard to be a good guardian for me. He started calling me nephew as my nickname to emphasize that I'm not his boyfriend or boy toy or sexual anything. I appreciate the effort he's made. But what if he's working so hard to keep me in the child box, the son box, has made it harder for you to feel romantically toward me?
I shook my head. I came into our relationship having these issues before Jean-Claude ever met you.
We were both pretty traumatized by the mother of all darkness, Anita.
You didn't seem traumatized. You seemed besotted with me, I said.
You were the first sex I'd ever had. That can be pretty overwhelming.
I thought about the discovery just minutes before of Asher being Jean-Claude's first male lover. It explained so much about why he'd put up with so much bad behavior from Asher for so long.
You're saying that the oh boy, it's sex made you seem less traumatized to me.
Something like that.
I looked at Jean-Claude.
Could Sin be right? Could your trying so hard to keep him in the child-nephew box impact how I feel about him?
Perhaps. Nikki asked,
how does it make you feel when you catch some of Anita's sexual attraction to Sin?
Jean-Claude had gone very still, his face an almost unreadable mask, beautiful to look at it, but distant. He was hiding very hard not to share anything he was feeling or thinking.
I distance myself from it when she is feeling amorous toward our young prince.
Sin's right. You have started calling him the young prince or nephew, all terms to help remind you that he's so young and that you think of him as a younger relative, so the incest taboo attaches to him.
You know, this much therapy is really not making me want to feed the ardeur on anyone right now, I said.
You must feed before you get on the plane, ma petite. Your fear of flying could weaken your control over it, and that would be regrettable in the airplane.
I stared at him. How regrettable, I asked.
If you lost control completely, the pilot could be involved, and how regrettably would depend on where in the flight you were when it happened, ma petite.
I swallowed but seemed to have a lump in my throat that wouldn't go down. I had to cough to clear it.
You're actually pale, Sin said.
I don't like to fly, I said.
You're afraid to fly,
Nikki said.
Stop helping me,
I said. He smiled, but it was gentle.
I am trying to help you.
I looked into that one clear blue eye and held my hand out to him.
I know you are.
He came and took my hand in his.
You are Jean-Claude's human servant, Anita. That means his attitudes and emotions affect you.
Our moods can affect each other, I said.
He squeezed my hand and said,
Then maybe Sin is right.
I looked at Jean-Claude, who was standing close to us. He was still giving a polite, blank face, which meant he was hiding his feelings and thoughts as hard as he could. I looked at him. You agreed with me, Jean-Claude, that the fact that the Mother of All Darkness mind-fucked Sin and me that first time together was what made me not be in love with him.
Of course that impacted how you would think of him, ma petite. How could it not?
Yes, but is your putting him in the son I never had box making it worse?
I do not know, and that is the truth.
Then why are you hiding what you're feeling so hard right now?
Because it had not occurred to me that my effort to treat Sinric as a good legal guardian should might have stopped your ability to love him as you might have.
You feel stupid for having missed the possibility,
Nikki said.
I would not have put it that way, Nikki, but yes.
So, am I right? Sin asked.
I cannot tell you that you are wrong,
Jean-Claude said.
See?
Nikki said.
You're right, and you're wrong.
It's like Schrodinger's cat, I said. Alive and dead at the same time until someone opens the box.
And what determines if the cat is alive or dead? Sin asked.
Leave the metaphors behind, Nouveau. It is my attitude that may have killed the cat.
For it to affect Anita this much, you must have been fighting pretty hard to keep Sin in the young nephew box,
Nikki said.
I am his legal guardian. Bibiana and Max trusted me with Sinric's well-being. I have tried to do what is right by him.
You've been wonderful, Jean-Claude, Sin said, moving toward the three of us.
I have done my best.
No one could have done better, Sinric said.
Agreed, I said.
Agreed,
Nikki said.
But did my efforts cost Sinric Anita's love?
Let us worry about that, I said.
No, Anita. Jean-Claude needs to help us see if this is really the problem, Sin said.
How? I asked.
How can I remedy this harm I may have caused?
I'm right about saving Nikki as food for the trip.
The reasoning is sound, Jean-Claude said.
Feed on me tonight. If you're putting me in the nephew box is really hurting Anita's ability to love me, then it should help change that. If it doesn't change anything, then that's not it.
It is a dangerous experiment, nephew.
If it doesn't change her feelings toward me, then you don't have to take blood from me again.
It may not be that simple, Sinric,
Jean-Claude said.
You've called me Sinric at least three times. You never forget that I prefer to be called Sin.
Perhaps I am trying to distance myself even more. Sin is a rather provocative word to use as a name.
Sin frowned.
Have I missed something here?
What do you mean?
Jean-Claude asked. Nikki shook my hand in his.
I think I got this one.
I glanced up at him because I was still a step behind.
Sin was only 17 when he came to live here. He's grown 7 inches taller, hit the gym, and started filling out all that height.
What's your point? I asked.
He's not just handsome. He's borderline pretty. A beautiful man who is over 6 feet tall and athletic.
I wasn't following for a second, and then I caught up all at once.
Oh, crap,
I said.
Exactly.
I'm still lost, Sin said.
Jean-Claude only started calling you his nephew in the last year or so, right?
Nikki said.
I guess so.
Until about a year ago, you hadn't gotten that secondary muscle development or filled out your face and the rest of you.
Sin blinked, and then the light dawned all across his face. He looked surprised, then went pale, and then he blushed. He got control of himself and finally was able to look at Jean-Claude, who was wearing as careful an expression as I'd ever seen on him.
You've been so good, honorable, and I come in here and step all over it. God, Jean-Claude, I'm sorry for that.
And if my efforts to be honorable have kept Anita from giving you her heart, then I am sorry for that.
Now that we're all sorry, do I stay or do I go?
Nicky asked. I kept holding his hand, but I narrowed my eyes at him.
Don't give me the look, Anita. You need to feed before you get on the plane, and we are running out of time.
He squeezed my hand to take some of the seriousness out of his words.
Practical and correct as usual, Nicky, Jean-Claude said, and I may have a compromise.
What kind of compromise?
Sin asked, and sounded positively suspicious. It sounded like my tone of voice. Had he learned it from me, or had he inherited it through the metaphysics between us? We'd never really know, but it made me wonder what else he might have picked up from me, or me from him.
Maybe I'd finally be able to throw a decent spiral football since Sin was Mr. Quarterback.
I would like you to see me take blood from Nicky before I do so from you, Sin.
Sometimes it's good to see what you're asking for beforehand,
Nicky said. Are you saying that it weirds you out to donate blood? Sin asked.
If I didn't have qualms about it, I'd have done it sooner.
Qualms so didn't sound like a word that Nicky would have chosen to use when he first came to us. I guess we were all learning from each other.
So you take blood from Nicky, and then what? Sin asked.
Those big, dark blue eyes were narrowed, and again it was my expression on his face.
If ma petite approves, then she will feed the ordure from you, and we will share her as you have with the other men.
Jean-Claude met that suspicious expression with one that was elegant, calm, and as unreadable as the dark side of the moon. They both looked at me. Nicky squeezed my hand gently. I glanced up at him and then back at the other two men. So it's going to be a foursome? I asked.
It would seem so,
Jean-Claude said, still in that careful, pleasant voice.
Just so you know, Sin, normally you'd want to make sure you negotiated how much the other two men touch you while everyone's touching the girl,
Nicky said.
You and I already had this talk.
But you didn't have it with Jean-Claude yet.
Sin looked at the vampire and there was no suspicion on his face now. In fact, he looked very certain, almost arrogant. In that moment, I realized that he was a handsome man who knew he was handsome. That was a change from when he first came to us, and maybe not a change for the better. But there it was on his face in the way he stood so tall and strong. There was suddenly a nearly touchable sense of physicality around him. It was part natural athlete, and part his inner beast peeking out.
I don't have to have the talk with Jean-Claude. He's more nervous of me than I am of him.
The look he gave the other man then was pure predator, and suddenly I wasn't so worried about Sin's delicate sensibilities.
Then perhaps we should discuss my boundaries, rather than yours,
Jean-Claude said.
Perhaps we should,
Sin said, and walked toward us all like he walked onto the football field, or went up to a starting block for track like he owned it, and he knew he would win. Victory wasn't a question. It was a given. When I'd met Sinric, he'd been a shy, uncertain 16-year-old boy. But he had survived the mother of all darkness trying to do the darkest of magic on us. He hadn't just survived physically, but mentally and emotionally he seemed to have come out of it better than some of the other older were-tigers. I should have understood that kind of strength grows into more. Watching him walk toward us, toward Jean-Claude, I finally realized that the scared boy I remembered wasn't Sinric anymore. He was Sin, and he'd chosen the name. It had been another clue about who he had become. You have to have a certain level of machismo to choose and carry a name like that. Looking at him now, I realized it suited him. How had I missed it?
Chapter 29. Nicky stripped off his shirt first. He wasn't much for a slow reveal when he was in the room with me and other men. I wasn't sure if it was that he didn't want to compete with men who took their clothes off on stage professionally, or if once he revealed that massive, muscular upper body, he didn't feel like he had to compete with anyone. I'd seen men move or stop lifting weights next to him in the gym when he was working out. Anyone who wouldn't even lift next to him was never going to get naked in bed with him. But lucky for us, none of those men was in the bedroom with us. Nicky had helped teach Sin how to lift weights, and Jean-Claude had no desire to bulk up as much as the were-lion. In fact, Jean-Claude came up behind him and trailed his hand across those muscular shoulders and made an appreciative sound, something he'd never done before with Nicky.
In fact, he put his arm around the other man's shoulders and neck. The inches of extra height allowed him to lean his face against the side of Nikki's head, black curls against the straight blonde hair. They were opposites in almost every way, which wasn't a bad thing, just a thing. Nikki stiffened, and Jean-Claude leaned in and whispered something in his ear. As his lips moved, the werelion relaxed. Whatever Jean-Claude was telling him reassured him or pleased him, because he smiled. Jean-Claude laid the softest of kisses against the other man's cheek.
"You don't have to put on a show for me," Sin said.
"I am not putting on a show for you, Sin. I am admiring what I will be plunging my..."
And he hesitated just long enough to let Nikki's mind fill in the blank before saying,
"Fangs into tonight."
Sin looked at them, eyes narrowing. Jean-Claude wrapped both arms around those oh-so-broad shoulders. Nikki gripped the vampire's arm and rubbed his face against Jean-Claude's hair as if he were scent-marking. The vampire laid his lips against Nikki's cheek even more delicately than before, so that he put a line of the gentlest of kisses from cheek to neck. Nikki closed his eyes and turned his head to the other side, so that the strong line of his neck was stretched bare and waiting. All that strength of that muscular upper body was suddenly turned in Jean-Claude's arms into something submissive, takeable. I'd never seen anything like that between them before. Sin looked at me, and again it was my suspicion on his face, or maybe now it was his own.
"They're trying to scare me off. It's not going to work."
"I don't know what you're talking about," I said, and walked to the other men. It wasn't that the two men didn't touch when Jean-Claude fed on Nikki, but they didn't touch quite like this, so it was a show for Sin. But if the men were willing to do it, I wasn't going to ruin it for them. Besides, I was sleeping with all of them, and I liked to see my men enjoying each other. I slid my hands around Nikki's bare waist. The touch made him open his eye, and I was gazing up into their faces as I caressed the narrowness of his waist, until I touched Jean-Claude's shirt and the firmness of his body underneath it. I rose up on tiptoes to offer a kiss. Nikki's arm pressed against my back, and Jean-Claude unfolded one arm from around his shoulders to push his hand underneath my hair to caress the back of my neck, so that when I kissed Nikki, it was his hand pressing my chest against Nikki's naked upper body, but it was Jean-Claude's hand that pressed my face tighter into the kiss. I kissed him until my pulse was in my throat, and I drew back, breathless, to turn to Jean-Claude, who bent over Nikki's shoulder. I had to stretch to meet him with Nikki's body between us, but his height in the boots and me going nearly on point let us kiss. Nikki put his hands around my waist. I felt him dip like he'd bent his knees a little, and then he lifted me up so that Jean-Claude and I could kiss more. Either my feet could dangle in the air, or I could do the airborne version of popping one foot up behind me, which was what I did. Jean-Claude kept his hand at the back of my neck, but this time he pressed me in against his own lips. I wrapped one arm around the vampire and the other one around the werelion. My tongue slid between his fangs and he kissed me harder. Nikki put one arm around my waist and held me pinned against his chest, freeing up his other hand to grab my ass.
"I've shared Anita with Nathaniel and Micah at the same time. Unless Jean-Claude is planning to mouth-kiss Nikki next, I've seen the show."
Jean-Claude and I pulled back, looked at each other, then at Nikki. Nikki turned his head not to me, but to the other man offering a kiss, which he'd never done before with any of the other men in my life. Jean-Claude looked at him, smiled, and then leaned into the kiss. I was still in their arms, held close and tight, so that I got to watch the kiss so close that I could have joined it if I could have figured out where my lips would go. Nikki's mouth worked, putting more into the kiss than just a touching of lips. Jean-Claude responded to the eagerness, his other hand playing in the blonde hair as he kissed him back. Seeing them kiss excited me, but being this close to it tensed things low in my body so hard and so tight, it was a pleasure bordering on pain. It stole my breath, parted my lips as if I'd drawn a breath to blow out a candle. Another hand touched my face, made me turn to find Sin there. He kissed me while the two men were still kissing each other. Sin's kiss was as eager as ever. If he was bothered by anything the others were doing, it didn't show as he wrapped his arms around the three of us. I didn't fight the eagerness of his mouth on mine as Jean-Claude transferred his hand from the back of my neck to wrap around Sin and draw him in tighter against the side of Nikki's body and me. Nikki flexed his arm around my waist, almost crushing me against his chest, and the extra force was enough to draw eager noises from me that Sin licked and finally bit gently away. I felt Jean-Claude's power like an early spring wind, with that edge of winter's cold still riding it, but the promise of warmth and flowers to come. Once it would have been only the chill of the grave, but the more were-animals I connected to, the warmer his energy had become. I drew back from Sin, and the other two men had drawn back from each other. There was a crimson dot on the edge of Nikki's lower lip. Jean-Claude's eyes had bled to solid, shining blue. My voice sounded breathy as I said, "You have to be careful French-kissing vampires, Nikki." He licked the fresh blood from his lip and said,
"I'm not used to the fangs yet."
"Bloody kisses like sweet copper pennies in my mouth," Jean-Claude said.
"Pretty talk,"
Nikki said. Jean-Claude always knows just what to say. "I think it's something about being French," I said.
"Non, ma petite, mon lion. I am inspired by such bounty before my eyes."
"You know that Nathaniel likes to bite, right?"
Sin asked. We all looked at him.
"I've seen kisses that ended with lips bleeding a lot more than this."
"Then we will have to do better, won't we, Nikki?" Jean-Claude said.
"Yeah, we wouldn't want the kid disappointed."
"Don't call me kid.
Prove that you aren't one and I'll stop."
"How do I prove it?" Nikki smiled, a damn near evil smile.
"I've got a few ideas."
Chapter 30 Nikki tried, but in the end, Sin saw it all as a sort of competitive dare, so nothing that Jean-Claude was willing to do was enough to scare him off. I think Nikki would have been willing to personally do things that would have freaked Sin out, not because he wanted to have sex with him, because I was pretty sure he didn't, but because Nikki was just that competitive. If it was a game of chicken, Nikki was not going to be the one who flinched. Once I would have said the same of Jean-Claude, but something about Sin hit issues for him that I didn't even know he had. Maybe the idea that his issues were part of what had kept me from being in love with Sinric was true, but if so, how the hell did we prove it, or fix it? Hell, did we want to fix it? All the clothes were gone, the four of us nude in the new double king-size bed with the red silk sheets from the even bigger bed tucked in around the bed, so that we were still on top of the sheets rather than fighting to get them free. Jean-Claude's skin was so white against the crimson sheets. Sin's summer tan looked even darker against them. Nikki looked paler when his skin was next to Sin's tan, but he didn't look pale at all next to the nearly pure white of Jean-Claude's body. Nikki's eye seemed like an even brighter blue, no matter if his face was next to Jean-Claude's midnight blue or Sin's blue tiger's eyes. I kissed Nikki's face, laying my lips over the scar where his other eye would have been, and he put his arms around me as I lay on top of him and took my kisses to the scars, the same as my lips touching the closed lid of his other eye. I'd convinced him a while back that to me the scar was just another texture of his body to kiss and caress. Someone started kissing along my back while I was kissing Nikki, and I wondered for a moment, but I didn't have to look to know the feel of Jean-Claude's lips against my skin. He spoke with his mouth against my lower back, his hands smoothing over my hips so that I writhed against the front of Nikki's body.
"I need you on top, Nikki."
"All you have to do is ask," he said,
and he rolled us over so fast that I made that high-pitched eep sound that was such a girl sound. I was just suddenly staring up at Nikki above me. I laughed a little nervously because I could feel his weight above me. Muscle weighs more, and so did Nikki. We weren't having intercourse yet, so it was just all that heaviness pressing me against the bed. I had a moment of realizing that if he wanted to trap me, I was trapped. It sped my heart, raced my pulse, and made me swallow hard. If Nikki hadn't topped me in the bedroom, would that moment have scared me for real? I don't know, because he did, and I let that little flash of fear grow because I knew he'd like it. He leaned over my face, sniffing loudly along my skin.
"Fear makes the meat taste better," he said in a voice that held an edge of a growl.
When he raised his face, his eye had changed to lion amber. He let a trickle of growl slide out from between his human lips. I trusted him utterly, but the game was to be afraid in that safe roller coaster ride way, so I didn't fight that moment of terror that thrilled through my body.
It was instinctive, hardwired into that primitive part of the brain that remembered what a growl like that meant against the skin of your throat. Sin crawled across the bed from the right side of us. He lowered his head and sniffed the air near me.
She's never afraid of me like this. You don't know how to be scary yet, Nikki said.
The weight was suddenly crushing and I said, too heavy. Jean-Claude appeared over Nikki's shoulder and I realized I was pinned under their combined weights. If Nikki hadn't been raised just a little above my chest, they might have been heavy enough to keep me from breathing. I managed to say,
if we were fucking, this would be fun, but it's just heavy now.
Jean-Claude laid his head on Nikki's shoulder, settling even more of his weight on top of the other man and on me.
Nikki, do you want to be inside her when I feed?
Yes. Let me make her come at least once before you feed, because once you do, I won't last.
As you like,
Jean-Claude said. He smiled down at me and then slid out of sight, but I could tell by the weight that he wasn't on top of Nikki anymore. Nikki was free to move his body enough for me to feel that he could pretend for Sinric that he was into sex with Jean-Claude. But some things couldn't be faked. He wasn't completely soft, but he wasn't that eager hardness that he usually was when we got to this point. I expected him to change positions, or ask for a hand or maybe a mouth from me, but he didn't. He moved his hips so that I had the choice of spreading my legs or him grinding himself into my pelvis. I wanted to make love to him, so I helped. By the time he'd settled himself between my legs, he was harder than he had been just seconds before, but still not hard enough. With most men, if they weren't hard when they started, you needed to back up and do some more foreplay. But Nikki raised himself on those amazing arms, his upper body rising above me so that I caressed my hands along all that hard work in the gym carved into the body above me. I gazed down the line of his body past the ridged hardness of his stomach until I could see that part of him that he was pushing against me. Even only partially erect, the sight of it tightened my body, and I threw my head back with a small cry so that I was suddenly staring up into his face. His hair had spilled forward so I could see all of his face. There was no way for him to hide. First time I'd seen him like this, he'd ducked his head and let his hair fall back in front of his scars. But now he just looked at me bold as brass. His face and that one blue eye so confident, so Nikki, now that he knew that I wouldn't look away or flinch. He wasn't going to see anything in my face except how much I wanted him. He smiled down at me and began to push his hips as if he were already inside me. It made that part of his body rub against my opening and other things. I could feel him growing harder, bigger, and the sensation of it drew small, eager sounds from me so that I raised my hips to meet him, but he was still not quite hard enough. He put all his weight on one arm and reached down to use his hand to angle the crown inside me. I almost protested, but as soon as the head penetrated, I couldn't speak for just a second, and he was already pushing himself in and out of me. With every thrust, he grew firmer, longer, until he was as hard as he needed to be to start fucking me. We made love, but I made love with all my men. Nikki liked to fuck. There was no other word for what we both enjoyed together. He drove himself in and out of me fast and faster, driving himself deep so that he hit every sweet spot inside me over and over and over again. If Jean-Claude hadn't been with us, Nikki would have pinned my wrists and made it rougher, but that didn't work for my raven-haired fiancé. So I got to look down the long line of Nikki's body and watch his body work in and out of mine, until in between one stroke and another I orgasmed, screaming my pleasure into his face. It startled him, I think. But he kept his rhythm so the orgasm built and fed into another one and another. I gripped his arms where he held himself above me, and if it had been most of my other lovers, I would have raked my nails down his arms. But we'd had this discussion before so that even while I screamed my pleasure, I didn't forget that some night soon he'd be in charge of me, and if I bled him now, he'd bleed me later. I didn't like being bled during sex any more than he did. Well, except for one type of bloodletting. Nikki's voice was clear, but full of the effort he was putting into fucking me and not going himself.
Jean-Claude, feed now. I'm not going to last much longer.
Jean-Claude came up behind him again, but this time their combined weight only pushed against Nikki's hips, burying him deeper inside me, which made me cry out again. Nikki shuddered above me, eye closing for a moment, and then he said,
"Do it, Jean-Claude!"
Jean-Claude smoothed Nikki's yellow hair to one side to bare the strong, thick line of his neck. He whispered in French against Nikki's hair, and I felt some tension go out of Nikki. He was still thick and hard inside me, still holding that impossibly muscular chest up off me on the swell and curve of his arms, but I knew the vampire was inside his head now. Jean-Claude raised his head.
"Are you ready, mon lion?"
he whispered.
"Yes, Jean-Claude, do it. Just do it!"
Jean-Claude opened his mouth wide so that I caught a flash of fangs, his eyes a solid burning blue as if the night sky had caught fire, and then he struck. I could see his mouth locked on the side of Nikki's neck, watch his neck swallowing, his mouth sucking. Nikki's body reacted, beginning to pump inside me again. He was already buried as deep inside me as he could go, and Jean-Claude's body pinned his hips so he didn't have much movement, but what he had was enough. He began to move faster, in and out, hitting deep and hard so that I screamed out again for him, fighting not to close my eyes so that I could see Jean-Claude drinking him down. Nikki's eye closed, face almost slack as if he'd already gone, but I could feel him harder than ever, so hard, so thick, so... He brought me screaming again, and this time he yelled with me, his body shoving one more time deep inside me. I could feel him quivering inside me as he came, and his body shuddered above me as the vampire rode him. Nikki finally collapsed, throwing his chest to one side so that he didn't bury my face against his pecs. I appreciated it, not just so I didn't have to eat my way to freedom through his chest, but because I could still see Jean-Claude at his throat. I was looking at him with my body still thrumming with all those orgasms as the vampire rose up. His mouth was still open wide enough that I saw him lick along his fangs. His face for that instant was as bestial as any were-animal, and then it was gone, hidden behind that beautiful face. Only the eyes, shining with blue-black fire, showed what was inside and had gotten to come out for a few minutes. He helped Nikki roll to one side where he just lay there, eye closed. Only the rise and fall of his chest let me know he was alive. A thin line of blood trickled from the neat fang marks in the side of his neck. For them to bleed that much meant Jean-Claude had gotten a little carried away. We'd all enjoyed ourselves. Jean-Claude was on all fours above me, his body hard and ready, and just the sight of him above me like that made me cry out again. I reached for him, but he caught my hands and said,
"Sin, help me move her to the edge of the bed."
"Why?"
"So you can join us. You need a little encouragement to be able to feed the ardeur for Anita."
I didn't know what he meant at first, but Sin pulled, half-carried me to the edge of the bed, and I could suddenly see what Jean-Claude meant. Sin wasn't hard or ready. He was soft, hanging loose against the front of his body. He hadn't enjoyed watching the three of us together. I didn't know what about it had bothered him, but something had. His body told me that. Jean-Claude moved me to the edge until my head spilled over the side and I was looking at Sin's body upside down. It wasn't one of my favorite positions for giving oral, but with him still soft, it would be good. I'd change positions when he got hard enough, or that was my plan. Sin was almost too tall for the lower bed, all that long leg so that he had to lean in, so he was almost doing a standing push-up just so I could reach him. Jean-Claude's hands cupped my hips, and I cupped the backs of Sin's thighs and sucked him down, so soft and warm. I loved sucking on a man when he was this soft. There was no fight to breathe, no choking, just the sensation of him in my mouth. Jean-Claude's hands caressed my hips, and I felt the tip of him brush my opening. It made me pause with my mouth buried as tight to Sin's body as I could get. Jean-Claude entered me, and I was so wet, so ready from everything that Nikki and I had done. It was amazing feeling Jean-Claude's body slide inside me. It made me moan with Sin's body in my mouth. He was already growing harder. Jean-Claude found his rhythm quickly and brought me to climax with Sin still inside my mouth, so I screamed my orgasm around him. He shuddered, and when I came up shallow on him, he was thicker, and he started moving himself inside my mouth with me sucking him, so that we started to find a rhythm of him inside my mouth as Jean-Claude found one between my legs.
"Unleash the ardeur, ma petite. Unleash it so you will feed on both of us when we go."
I called the Argyr, unleashed it, uncaged it, and let it roar over all three of us so that the two men both cried out. Jean-Claude brought me again with the feel of him inside me, sliding over and over on that sweet spot just inside. It made me scream around Sin's body as he thrust deeper inside my throat. I didn't have to fight my gag reflex now because with the Argyr I didn't have one. It was great and made oral sex even more amazing than it was. I used my hands on Sin's body to urge him to fuck me harder and faster, shoving all that hard length down my throat deeper than I could ever take it without the Argyr riding me, riding all of us.
Close, Sin gasped out. Hold until I bring her one more time.
And he caressed himself over that spot three more times to match those three words. The weight grew and spread, and I was nothing but pleasure, shaking and shrieking between the two of them.
Oh, God, please, Sin yelled. Almost,
Jean-Claude answered him and shoved himself faster and faster inside me, not trying to caress that spot near my opening, but places deeper inside me. Sin had stopped moving. I think he was afraid to keep fucking my throat or he'd go before Jean-Claude, so he stayed almost frozen above me. I started sucking on him again since he wasn't moving for me. He said,
Anita, please, I'll...
Jean-Claude said, in three.
God, you're joking,
Sin said, but he thrust himself in my mouth and down my throat once. Jean-Claude shoved between my legs, twice inside my throat, a second time deep inside me. The third time Sin thrust down my throat and Jean-Claude said,
no, no!
Sin buried himself as deep inside my throat as he could. I drove my nails into his thigh and his ass and would have screamed as Jean-Claude thrust himself as deep inside me as he could go, and they both poured themselves inside me at the same time. I could feel Sin pulsing, spilling the heat of him down my throat, and Jean-Claude pouring warm between my legs, and I fed on them. I fed on the seed of them spilling inside me. I fed on the feel of their bodies plunged inside me. I fed on my nails digging into Sin's body, on Jean-Claude's hands on me. I fed on them everywhere they touched me, and when I got Sin's blood under my nails, it seemed to absorb up through my fingertips. He cried out above me, and then he screamed. I always valued when the men screamed for me. It was so damn rare. It all felt so good, so right, and then I felt power rushing over me, through me, and it wasn't coming from Jean-Claude. It was Sin. I couldn't see what was happening because my face was still buried upside down against his body. But that body was doing some kind of magic that I'd never felt before. I had a moment to start to pull away from him, so I wouldn't be choking on him when the Argyr left me and whatever this power was happened. But I was still blind against his body when the room started to shake, and all I could think was, earthquake. St. Louis doesn't have earthquakes. And then we were all scrambling to untangle ourselves and try to find cover. But how do you hide from an earthquake when you're in a cave?
Chapter 31. It wasn't an earthquake. But the lump under the rug that Sin tripped over turned out to be the floor. It had cracked and buckled as if something had torn through the rock. All the floors in the underground were solid rock, some with flooring over it, but it was basically bedrock or close to it. What the hell did that? I asked, staring down at the rip in the solid rock. It wasn't deep, just bearing more rock underneath, but it was a nearly straight line about 5 feet long and maybe 6 inches wide. The rocks stuck up on either side of it like a miniature mountain range just brought to life with a valley in between, waiting for grass to fill it. I hugged myself, but the black silk robe wasn't much for warmth. Jean-Claude was back in his much thicker black one with the fur collar and cuffs. We'd put on the robes because the guards on the door had come into the room when they heard the noise of the floor cracking. It had sounded like an explosion, and the guards had hit their general alarm button before they came into the room, pale and ready to defend us from the danger, except that there hadn't been anything to attack. How can you protect your charges from something that can split the floor open without leaving a trace? Nikki had gone to get some of the guards with the most experience with magic and metaphysics, the Harlequin. They'd spent centuries dealing with the Mother of All Darkness and the Vampire Council, who were all heavy hitters for stuff like this.
If we had not killed him, I would wonder if it was the Earth Mover warning us,
Jean-Claude said. He could level a city with a real earthquake, but I didn't know he could do things like this, I said.
I honestly do not know, but it has the appearance of his sort of power.
I nodded. Agreed, but I cut his heart out personally, so it's not him.
Who's the Earth Mover?
Sin asked from the chair by the fireplace. He didn't have a robe here, so he'd put his jeans back on and was sort of huddling in the chair. He'd managed to pull those long legs up so that he was hugging his knees. He reminded me more of the teenager I'd first met now than the confidently arrogant lover of earlier. It was almost comforting to see the younger Sinric peeking out of that handsome, muscular body. He was one of the Vampire Council, and one of the oldest vampires I'd ever met until Marmy Noir. He came to town to try to kill Jean-Claude and take over St. Louis.
I thought the old council members gave up any chance at their own territories when they took a council seat, Sin said, looking at us over his knees so that his dark blue eyes glittered in the artificial firelight.
That's true, I said.
The Earth Mover did not come to rule St. Louis, Jean-Claude said. He came to take over here and use my vampires as his tools to cause a vampire incident so terrible it would repeal the new laws and make us illegal monsters again.
Why would a vampire want to go back to having no rights? He asked.
I answered, he thought that legal vampires would eventually spread across the earth and turn so many humans into vampires that they'd basically run out of food, and thus they'd die out along with the humans. Mutual assured destruction for humans and vampires.
The Earth Mover sought to make vampires illegal again, so we would go back to the shadows where he thought we belonged. He thought the old system guaranteed that vampire numbers would stay smaller, because we had to stay hidden, and thus we would not overpopulate and depopulate our only food source.
Humans and were-animals, Sin said.
Jean-Claude nodded.
He talked only of humans, but yes.
I've listened to the Harlequin, and most of the older vamps see us, all of us, shapeshifters, as lesser.
It is a sadly common attitude among the oldest of us.
Well, it sucks, he said.
Yes, it does, which is why I am doing my best to promote newer and more progressive attitudes among them.
One of the guards by the door cleared his throat. We looked at them. It was Emmanuel, one of Raphael's were-rats. His hair was pale brown, cut short, and his pale gray eyes looked paler in the permanent tan of his face. He wasn't the tallest or the most muscled, but he excelled at everything physical. Hand-to-hand, blade work, shooting, he was even good at undercover work. He was also handsome in that clean-cut sort of way. He looked like he should be walking around a college campus somewhere worrying about passing algebra and how it would affect his athletic scholarship. But he was actually a lot more deadly than some of the guards who walked around throwing attitude all over the place.
Yes, Emmanuel, Jean-Claude said.
Some of us really appreciate how hard you try to make the older vampires treat us like we're people.
Yeah, we do,
said the second guard, and I realized it was the new guard, Harris, from yesterday. Or was it the day before? Though he was all white bread as far as I knew, his hair was almost the same shade of brown as Emmanuel's, and Harris was the one with brown eyes.
It is good to know that our efforts are appreciated,
Jean-Claude said with a graceful incline of his head.
I know that some of the older vamps here in this country and in Europe aren't too happy about it, so I just wanted to say thank you.
Jean-Claude smiled. You are most welcome, Emmanuel, and Harry, is it?
Harris, sir.
Harris.
I see your pal Barry isn't with you tonight, I said. He made a face and then fought back to bodyguard neutral.
He's not my friend. We let Barry and another guard go,
Emmanuel said.
I've got one more chance to prove I'm not like Barry,
Harris said.
Claudia and Fredo have decided to pair the new guards with more experienced guards. No newbies teamed up together.
I looked at Emmanuel and nodded.
Agreed.
There was a knock on the door, but it opened before we could say anything. It was Nikki with Magda and her master, Giacomo. He was taller than anyone else in the room except Sin. His shoulders were as broad as Nikki's or damn close, but whereas Nikki had that upside-down triangle that bodybuilders had, Giacomo was built like an old-time refrigerator, a big rectangle of muscle. You wouldn't think he had the same kind of muscle that Nikki did because his was hidden under an extra layer of flesh, but it was under there. I'd seen them lift weights in friendly competitions in the gym. The other guards would place bets on who could lift more or do the most reps. It was like the room had shrunk around them.
Giacomo went to one knee in front of Jean-Claude.
My king, how may we serve you?
Magda had gone to one knee beside him, though she almost never did it when Giacomo wasn't with her. If she thought it was excessive, she kept her head lowered so it didn't show on her face. Giacomo was her master metaphysically, and that would be true until one of them died. Marriage had nothing on magic for longevity.